Nick, where are you from? When did you join? And what did you do while you were serving in the Army?
I am from originally Chicago, Illinois, born and raised in Chicago. Mom's family is Georgia. Dad's family is Mississippi. So I spent a lot of time in the summers either in Georgia or Mississippi. So I consider myself a Southerner at heart. I went into the military in 1987, which would have been my senior year of high school. Went right on in. Basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. AIT at what was then Lowry Air Force Base in Aurora, Colorado. And I was a 81 Echo, which was audio-visual. And what we did basically was we edited training videos and demo reels and whatever came down through the 7th ATC, where I was stationed in Grafenwöhr, Germany, and then moved to Kaiserslautern. So military for me was something that moved me away from all I had known for the most part, because I had never been anywhere prior to that, had never been on a plane until the military, had never really left my insular circle of everybody kind of looking like me and moving like me. Military was the first time where I met guys from Brooklyn, and I couldn't understand the accent. And I'm like, well, where are you from originally? He's like, Brooklyn, you know, but it was just so different than everything I had known and heard.
How long did you serve in the Army for?
I did 4 years active duty and then 3 years in active reserve.
So let's talk about when that 4 years of active duty comes to a close. Everybody has a plan when they get out of the military.
Yep.
I kind of didn't. I just kind of went wherever it took me. But what was Nick's plan when he left the Army?
Nick had no plan. Nick, in the military, unfortunately for me, there had not been a college grad in my family. So that wasn't anything that had really been of interest to me or anything that I'd really thought about until I went into the military. And it was there that I met two of my best friends with whom I'm still friends today. One of them, literally, who became a mentor and is one of my closest friends, said to me, you know, Nick, if you don't go to college, it would be a waste of talent. And I had never heard that before, you know, and it just stuck with me. Got out and ended up doing 2 years in the junior college system in California, Santa Rosa Junior College. Changed my life. Transferred to Berkeley, did my undergrad at Cal, then went to Emerson College in Boston for my graduate work. But none of this would have happened for me had it not been for the military, because I really just didn't have a plan. Got out and I said, you know, well, why don't I at least try the college thing? You know, I wasn't even sure. I didn't even know what it was I really wanted to do. All I knew is that I had a skill set in video and I enjoyed shooting, you know. But at the time, we were using these big Sony cams. They were super heavy. And I knew I liked TV, but I wasn't really sure what it was I wanted to do on TV.
The job that you did in the Army was predominantly behind the camera work. Of course, now you are an anchor and a personality at Fox 5 DC, major market, major network. How did that transition come around where Nick Smith decided, I want to get in front of that camera?
Dude, I'm going to tell you, it's straight up, it is really about making connections. And I try not to get, you know, super spiritual or religious about things, but it was just a lot of prayer. And I knew I wanted to do something, but I wasn't sure what it was. And I really felt led in that direction. The first job that I got offered was one right out of grad school. I got offered to be what was then called a one-man band. So they're like, well, we need somebody to kind of shoot. And who doesn't mind shooting overnight? Who doesn't mind shooting in Mattapan? Who doesn't mind shooting in Roxbury? Because I was in Boston. And these areas were kind of rough, you know, and you were out there by yourself. There weren't cell phones. We had either the two-way radio or a pager. So there was no, I'm just going to jump on the cell phone. That pager went off. It gave you an address. You went, you shot video, and you came on back. News director said, you know what, I'd like to kind of try you on camera. And I was a little bit nervous about that, but I knew the basic elements to shooting in television, which were getting the video, squaring up the video, getting video that mattered. And then by this time, I'd been working with enough reporters where I knew how to put something together. I just hadn't had a chance to actually do it. Started shooting my own stand-ups, and it kind of made that transition. And yeah, Eric Mann, it was fantastic. It was almost a seamless transition for me there. And even to this day, I think that one of the reasons why I have done as well as I have with the teams or crews that I've worked with is because I understand that side of what it is that they're doing, you know.
If someone comes up to you today, you know, young soldier, airman, sailor, marine, coastie, getting out and says, Nick, I want to be on TV. I want to be the next big news anchor, the next big TV show host. What recommendation would you make to someone, particularly someone like yourself who may have a little bit of a background in it, but has never really done that part of it before? How do they first start in that job field?
Eric, I am completely transparent with it. I think that it's not rocket science. I really do believe that. I think you've got to find what it is that you want to do and what area you enjoy. Like, I've always been a talker. I don't mind talking to people. So if you're the guy who served in the military and you were a cook, if being a cook is really what you're passionate about, if you're comfortable talking about what you're passionate about, I think that that's where you start and that's where you focus. I don't care what it is. If it's gardening, dude, there's a space for everybody. I genuinely believe the pie is big enough for everybody to have a slice, but nobody's going to give it to you. You really need to work for it and kind of hone it. So then the new guy or new gal getting out of the military, I would tell them go someplace where they can honestly learn the craft, you know, learn how to communicate, learn how to have that conversation with somebody and learn how to listen. I think one of the hardest parts about those who do TV, there are some in my business who enjoy hearing themselves speak, but don't always listen. So they don't know how to feed off of the people they're interacting with. And I think that that's key because you have to remember there's an audience out there at home. And if they feel like you're not connecting or talking to them, it just doesn't work. It doesn't register.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to what exactly. You were just saying. I wanted to hear my voice again. I was just waiting until it was my turn, right. Nick. When you think back on the journey that you took from, you know, enlisting in the Army to where you are today, are you surprised at where you ended up? I mean, would 17, 18-year-old Nick Smith have had any idea that he'd be on camera in Washington, D.C. every day?
Honestly, I'm going to tell you no. I think that those who know me would tell you that they're not surprised by what I'm doing. I think... I was always fairly popular in high school. I had friends. I just didn't know what it is I wanted to do. I just knew I didn't want to go right to college. Mm. I knew that I had no interest in college right out of high school, but I wasn't. I grew up in a single parent home. I always felt loved and supported. So I never doubted that I had a space. I just didn't know what that space was. And my mother was extremely supportive. So I think more than anything, what I have taken away is I want more men of color to know that the opportunity is there. Because I do think it's easy, Eric, to get trapped in a situation where we, black men, can get caught up in the noise externally and start to allow that to build and say, wow, I really don't have a shot. I don't have a chance. I can't do this. And I call BS on that, you know. Nothing is easy. But to think that it's easier for those who are not of a darker hue is a misnomer, too. Everybody has to struggle. Everybody has to fight. But you're worth doing the fight. And at the end of that fight, I'm telling you that there is a space for you. So, no, I don't believe I would be surprised. I don't believe friends would be surprised. If anything, and this is what I've had to come to terms with, there are parts of me that feels frustrated that I haven't done more. There are parts of me that said, you know what? The 6 years you spent doing the military, the 4 years active duty, and then the 3 inactive reserve, and then kind of a National Guard, you were kind of meandering. You didn't know what you wanted to do. So there's a part of me that says, wow, had I, like my friends, gone straight to college out of high school, I would have already been at Fox 5 DC 6 years ago. You know, maybe I would have already been such and such. I had to learn to let all of that go and just be happy about where I am now and just doing the work. Because I do believe everything has kind of prepared me for this moment now. Absolutely.
When you talk about people of color, for Black History Month, we had a bunch of fascinating interviews on this program, including with General Larry Spencer, who went from basic airman in the Air Force to 4-star general, Melissa Bryant, former Army Intel officer, now Chief Policy Officer at IAVA. And a recurring theme was how there was initially self-doubt on behalf of a lot of people within the African-American community in the military and then after they left it. Why do you think that is, and how do you think we can get over it? Is it as simple as there being examples like General Spencer and like yourself out there visible for people to see?
I think that's the start. But I also think that we as a community, and this is everyone, I think that we don't always focus on the value military service has to the community. And that's everyone, right? I think that what we don't often do enough as a society here as Americans, we don't always recognize and appreciate the men and women who serve. So as a result, the value is in place where I believe it should be, which is when you have a veteran coming to you applying for a job, I am one of those who believes that that should earn them a seat at the table. That person should immediately become a candidate that you're considering for this role. Of course, employers want to hire the best qualified person for the job, but I would ask that they rethink the criteria of what that actually means. I don't always believe it means a master's degree. I don't believe it always means a degree from Maryland. I believe that it can be 4 years active duty and maybe 2 years of junior college someplace where they have really shown their grit and their determination. So I think that amongst being an example, being out there, being visible, talking to young black men and women saying, hey, try to ignore the external noise. I want to say to employers to also give the men and women who have served an opportunity to be heard.
When it comes to military role models, do you think that those veterans who are out there who have achieved success should be more open about the fact that they are veterans? It seems every week I'm learning about someone who's a big star, who's done great things, and I had no idea that they served in the military. And then there's people like you who are very proud of your Army service. You know, it's right there on your Twitter bio and all right. That good stuff. Do you think that people within the veteran community should be more outgoing about their veteran status, or do you think that that's kind of a personal decision?
I do think it's a personal decision, right? I'm quick to say that in my time of service, I never saw combat. And I do believe it's different for those who maybe have seen combat and have not had the same experience that I've had. My experience in the military, easily one of the best times of my life. I'm comfortable saying that. I get emotional about it because it was so important to me and it's so personal to me. But I'm aware that there are those who did not have the same experience. But I do believe that that positive experience can happen for everyone. But I also believe that sharing your military journey, sharing your military experience is definitely a decision that is a personal one. For me, I'm happy to share it because I believe it can change lives because it changed mine. But I understand that there are those who maybe have not had the same experience that I did and hold it a little bit closer to the vest.
When you think back on your broadcasting career, since you've now been doing this for quite a while now, I've worked in quite a few.
That's right. Daddy is old. Yes, indeed.
Well, you said you enlisted in 1952.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Something like that. When you think about all the different places you've worked and you've done a lot of different stories and worked in various communities, what role do you think veterans play in those communities from a journalist perspective, someone who's been able to see it from
oh,
that
wow. side? Oh, wow. What role do journalists play? I'm going to tell you that I think that veterans always have a space because I believe service is woven into the fabric of what this country is all about. I personally believe in conscription. I believe that every man and woman should serve in some capacity, period. The minute you turn 16, the minute you turn 17, you're just about to leave high school, you need to know where you're going to serve. If it's not military, maybe it's Peace Corps, maybe it's some type of hospice. But I believe that everyone should give 2 years of service to the country in some capacity where they recognize that there are people who don't have the same opportunities that they have, or learning that everyone does not look like Nick Smith. Everybody does not look like Eric. We need to know before we're moving into this world and sometimes in our own insular communities that we really are all the same. You know, there's nothing more humbling and bringing you down to earth than, you know, sharing a barracks with 42 guys that you've never met before. Everybody has the same open shower. There are no stalls to those toilets. All of a sudden you learn humility real quick and you're like, whoa, we really are all the same. And you forget, you know, about race and region of the country. Or this one's, you know, from backwoods West Virginia. Oh, Nick is from backwoods Mississippi. This one's from Chicago. That one's from Brooklyn. All of a sudden, everybody's wearing Army green. All of a sudden, everybody has PT in the morning. All of a sudden, everybody's trying to help the other guy finish his 2-mile run because you want your squad to do best. The brotherhood is real. And it can only happen when we're forced to move outside of our safe spaces of our communities and where we grow up. That's the only way it can happen. And I think the military, for me, was definitely the thing that helped to catapult that. So I think that as veterans in the community, we have a responsibility to talk to young men, young women who are on the fence about what to do next. I don't know what I want to do. There is a space for you in the United States military where you can find your way. I genuinely believe that, you know. It's going to be work. You got to move outside your comfort zone. But I definitely believe that there's a space for every man and woman here in the United States to find their way in a way of service.
Nick, of course, people in our nation's capital can just tune into Fox 5 DC to see what you're up to every day. But for those who don't happen to be in this very interesting city, I'll call it, where can they find out more about you and the work that you do both on Fox 5 and elsewhere?
They can follow me on Twitter. They can follow me on Instagram, both of which are Nick Smith News, at Nick Smith News on Twitter, at Nick Smith News on Instagram. Fortunately for us, everything that we do on Fox 5 DC, we do stream at fox5dc.com. And it's exciting. We have a lot more that we're working on, and it's a great group, and I'm excited to be part of this team.